Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, as we turn to our New Testament reading of God's holy word. Acts chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 17 through 38 of Acts chapter 20. As we focus on this last Lord's Day of 2024 on how Christ cares for his church, on how Christ practically cares for his church. And we meditate on this, particularly as we move into 2025, and we think about the responsibilities of the leadership of the church of reaching out to encourage the flock here, and we see that it is Christ who is at work. And so give your attention to the reading of God's holy word, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. From Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Having heard the word of God, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear people of God, as I've already said, we are coming rapidly to the close of 2024. We remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. We remember that he has not only come and become true man and that he has fulfilled all righteousness, but he has died for the sins of his people on Calvary's cross, for his church, his beloved bride. We remember that he has risen. And we also know that he is expanding his kingdom. He is advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth until the last of his people are brought into the fold. And then the end shall come. Then it will truly be the end of the year. It will be the end of the New Testament era. It will be the end of the world. Christ Jesus will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, and all those who belong to him will forever be with the Lord, being perfected in righteousness, even in soul and in body, in light of the resurrection on the last day. But Christ continues to work until that day. And Christ continues to care for his flock, his church, until that great day when he shall return in glory. And as we prepare to move into 2025, we are called to be faithful. We are called to occupy until he comes. We are called to be those who are faithful witnesses. We are called to care for one another. We are called to compel ones to join us in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ cares for his church, even as we follow him. And today we want to specifically look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 and see that Christ sees to it that his church is cared for. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of this church, the head of his universal church, he sees to it that his church is cared for. How? How does Christ see to it that his church is cared for? Well, he does so by his Spirit, through his Word, through the means of you and me. We see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the instruction to the leaders, the overseers, the elders of the church. And we read the following: "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Truly, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is the one who shepherds his flock. But in this verse, we see that he uses means. He indeed uses people. He uses men whom he has raised up to be overseers, to be elders in the church, to care for the flock, to be his hands, to be his mouth, to be his eyes and his ears. And we want to meditate upon this today as we prepare to move into 2025. Christ sees to it that his church is cared for. We want to think about this in terms of 3 points this morning. First of all, there is a message to the elders, a message to the overseers, the leaders of the local church. And this message is simple. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Therefore, take heed to yourselves. The first word is to the elders. If we are going to properly understand how Christ cares for his church, we must see that he gives a command to the elders and overseers of his flock. Verse 28 uses the word overseers. It is the Holy Spirit who has made you overseers. If you look back at verse 17, you'll see that these ones are also called elders. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. The word elder is the Greek word presbyteros. It's where we get our word Presbyterian. And the word for overseer is episkopos. That may sound familiar to you as well, as it sounds like episcopal. And it is often a word which we have anglicized in terms of bishop. And here we're told that the elders and the bishops, or the elders and the overseers, are the same people, that they are identified as the same group of people. They're called elders because this speaks of maturity. This speaks of wisdom. This speaks of experience. They are elders because others naturally look to them in terms of their experience and their maturity. They are called overseers, and this speaks of a position of being a watchman on the wall, to oversee. They're in a position to be able to see, not a position of exaltation, but a position of responsibility. And Christ cares for his flock here at First Church of Merrimack by, first of all, speaking to this group of men. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Literally, the word has the idea of holding something towards oneself. Maybe it would be understood in terms of pay close attention to, watch. And here the idea is hold yourself up before yourself and take a look. Now, how would we do that in terms of our normal way of thinking? Well, we look in the mirror. That's in essence what Jesus is saying, that my care for my church starts with the elders and overseers taking a close look in the mirror at themselves, taking a look and asking the question, what do I see? Diagnose yourself. What do you see in terms of your relationship with the Lord as an overseer, as an elder? What do you see in terms of your relationship with the Lord? Are you walking humbly with him? Are you walking in faith and repentance on a daily basis? Are you depending upon him desperately, knowing that you have no hope except in Jesus Christ, the one who has purchased you with his own blood? What do you see in terms of your relationship with the Lord? What do you see in terms of your relationship with others? Take heed to yourselves. What do you see in terms of your relationship with your wife if you're married, your children, your grandchildren? What do you see in terms of your relationship with others in the family of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you one who is an encourager? Are you one who is exhorting others unto faithfulness in the Lord? Are you one who is bearing others' burdens, coming alongside of them in their time of need? What do you see in terms of your living? Are you striving for Christ-likeness and holiness? Do you have a life which has the characteristic of the posture of prayer, that you are a praying man, that you recognize that nothing that you do can in any way succeed apart from God's particular blessing upon your labor? Are you one who depends upon the Lord in prayer? Is your living characterized by speedy repentance, that you keep short accounts, that you walk humbly, humbly with your wife, humbly with your children, humbly with other church members, humbly with your co-workers? And here are the sorts of questions which should be asked as Christ cares for his church by, first of all, calling upon the leadership of the church to take heed to yourselves. What do you see in terms of your growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you feeding upon him? You see, until these questions can be answered with humility and honesty, there can be no taking heed to the flock. There can be no work through you by Christ to care for others. Indeed, if you are not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are regressing. There is no such thing as stagnation in the life of the Christian. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You're not staying in one place. And so, even as then Christ has a word to the leadership of the church to take heed to yourselves, we realize that there's not a different standard for the pastor, for the elders of the church, for the overseers of the church than there is for the committed Christian. There's not a different standard for these men who have been set apart to lead in the midst of the church. But that doesn't mean that these men aren't to be examples. They are to be examples. Yes, on the one hand, Each one who is an elder or who is an overseer has the exact same sins to kill as any other person and has the exact same graces to strengthen just like any other follower of Jesus. But as you take heed to yourselves, can the other leaders of the church say to the flock, this is the way to go. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's the question. Now, none of the leaders, myself or the other elders of this congregation, can truly take heed to ourselves without taking heed to Christ. Don't miss that. So as we read verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves. It's understood. It is indeed foundational that it is impossible for me or for any of the other elders to take heed to ourselves unless we take heed to Christ. We must take heed to Him, for He is the head of the church. He is the one who cares for His flock. You cannot do it without taking heed to Christ. And so, Christ this morning teaches us that He is committed to seeing His church cared for, and the first step is for the leadership to take heed to themselves. This is a searching application for me and for the other elders here today. But there is a second point in this passage. Verse 28 says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Take heed to all the flock. The overseers, the elders, the leaders of First Church of Merrimack have an appointment. They are appointed unto something by Christ. Now, they're appointed unto a particular work. They're appointed unto a particular work, even as Christ calls them unto that work through the congregation. We do not believe that men should be imposed upon a congregation in Presbyterianism. We believe that it is the congregation who recognizes Christ's gift and by their vote of assent sets apart men unto the office of both overseer and elder. But it is not the congregation which ultimately sets these ones apart. It is Christ by His Spirit who sets them apart unto a particular work. Look again at verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Yes, the Spirit works through the congregation to recognize His work in these men, but it is not merely the congregation that sets men apart unto this appointment. It is the Holy Spirit who sets men apart. To do what? To take heed to the flock. To take heed to the flock. Indeed, there is an appointment to take heed to the flock. Holding the office of elder, elders who oversee in order to shepherd. That's how we should understand verse 28, that elders have an office in order to oversee the flock by shepherding. That's the idea here. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Take heed to all the flock. And thus, pastors and elders are not administrators, not merely a board, not merely a pastor who's a CEO with a number of trustees, but rather elders who oversee in order to shepherd the flock. And so not only must there be a self-diagnostic, know yourself, take heed to yourself, there must also be a diagnosis of the sheep. You not only need to know yourself, you need to know the sheep. Yes, first take heed to self, but then you must take heed to all the flock. Why? Because the Holy Spirit says so. That's why. This is why. The Holy Spirit not only says so, He enables you to do so, calling you, equipping you, qualifying you, and enabling you so that you would willingly, intentionally, deliberately, eagerly, not only take heed to yourself, but to all the flock. So, if I need Christ to enable me to take heed to myself, and I do, because the heart is desperately wicked and deceptive. I can fool myself, but I need Christ to take heed to myself. How much more do I need Christ to take heed to all of the sheep, all of the flock? And the same is true for all of the leaders of this church. And here we recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who appoints ones to shepherd the flock. Now, it's Christ who shepherds the flock. But He does so through fallible, fallen, redeemed sinners who have flesh and blood. And they are called to a high calling. And here, appointed to shepherd the flock. Now, let's just think about this for a moment. If the leadership of First Church of Merrimack, myself and the elders, are to shepherd the flock, to take heed to all the flock, then that necessarily means that we must know who is a part of the flock, right? Who belongs? Who are we responsible for? It goes without saying almost, doesn't it? But it needs to be said. There needs to be a clear delineation in terms of who belongs. Now, sometimes you'll talk to a fellow Christian and they'll say something like, well, the Bible never talks about church membership. No, the Bible assumes church membership. Because if the elders and overseers are to take heed to all the flock, they need to know whom they are responsible for. They need to know who the sheep are underneath of their care. And this is why we practice church membership here at First Church of Merrimack, that we understand who belongs, who we are responsible for, and that we are going to give an account for the ones whom we are responsible for. And so there's an appointment then to take heed to all the flock, to shepherd the flock. It is a stewardship from God. And the leaders of the church are as those entrusted with God's possession. Think about that for a moment. The flock belongs to Jesus. Verse 28 emphasizes it. To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. The flock does not belong to Pastor Judd or to any of the elders on the session. The church belongs to Jesus, and we have a stewardship from God as those entrusted to care for that which belongs to Him. And we must be those who care for the flock. And how are we to do that? How are we to do that? Well, in this passage, though we're primarily looking at verse 28, look back at verse 20 for a moment. How did the Apostle Paul carry out this task of overseeing and shepherding the flock? He spent 3 years in Ephesus as one who was a minister of the gospel and is an example to us. And it's in verse 20 that we read this, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you both publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jew and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are given the illustration of a faithful overseer, of a faithful elder, that there is both public ministry and house-to-house ministry. There is care for the flock, where there is, we might say, broadcast sowing in the public assembly, and specific feeding house-to-house, bringing to bear in particular application the word of God, of the word of the gospel to God's flock, not only publicly, but privately. And so we must care for the flock as ones entrusted with God's possession. Think with me of three words which all begin with the word E, in terms of what care would look like. The leaders, the overseers, the elders of the church need to encourage. Encourage each one of the sheep here to encourage you in following the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage you in growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage you lest you grow weary. We live in a world which assaults us. We have many days of the week where we feel beaten up, and we need encouragement. And Christ encourages his flock even through the ministry of elders and overseers. Think of another word which begins with the letter E, equip. Equip. It's the responsibility of the overseers and elders to not only encourage you in following the Lord Jesus Christ, but to, by God's grace, help to equip you unto works of service. That the gospel doesn't end with you. Ah, what a great gift. All mine. But rather that God has given you himself and has given you the greatest gift of all in your restored relationship with him so that you would be a blessing to others. And so the flock is cared for through encouragement, through equipping, and another word which begins with the letter E, exhortation. To exhort you unto faithfulness, to exhort you unto a faithful making use of the means of grace, to exhort you unto responsibility, to exhort you unto, can I put it this way, in a Calvinistic church, taking a risk for Jesus. We are to be encouraging, equipping, and exhorting. And all of this really gets back to the idea of feeding and leading the sheep, right? Feeding and leading the sheep. Ensuring that the sheep are healthy, that they are getting the nutrients and they are getting the calories that they need, that they are indeed taking advantage of worship and nurture and witness. And so there is the work of encouragement, equipping, and exhorting. But think of two other words that begin with the letter P. And they flow really out of this text as well in Acts chapter 20. It's the responsibility of the elders and overseers to protect the sheep and to pursue the sheep. Sheep have this ability to go astray. And the elders and overseers need to remember that they too are sheep. But the elders and overseers are called to protect the sheep and to pursue the sheep. I'm struck in verse 29 when the apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." There is to be a protection of the flock, a zeal to protect the flock, and to pursue sheep which go astray, that they might be rescued and restored. Yes, there is to be a feeding, a leading, guarding, protecting, tending, herding. There is to be a relationship with the sheep. That the sheep, as it were, know the voice of the shepherd. Oh, do you remember what Jesus says? My sheep, what? Hear my voice. And under shepherds, the elders and overseers have as their goal trying to ascertain, is this sheep, is that sheep, is this other sheep hearing the voice of Jesus and following him? That's really what all this boils down to. Are you hearing his voice? And as overseers and elders are appointed to take heed to all the flock in order to shepherd them, you do so as yourself, one who is also purchased by the blood of Christ. As I just said, the pastor and elders also are sheep. We're not some high and mighty people who sit on elevated chairs. We are sheep who desperately need the care of the good shepherd, desperately need the equipping of the Holy Spirit to carry out this work. The elders and overseers must never forget that they too are sheep and a part of the church. That they too can do nothing without Christ. And that this taking heed to all the flock is impossible without taking heed to Jesus himself. And so Jesus is intent today on showing us that he is committed to having his church cared for by calling the leaders to take heed to themselves, by calling the leaders to take heed to all the flock. And what follows from this? And it's really our last point that follows from this. And it is a message not just to the elders and overseers. It's a message to the sheep, a message to the flock. And what is the message by implication in this passage? It's this. Take heed to your elders. Take heed to them. Oh, to be sure, take heed to Christ. But take heed to Christ as you take heed to his gift to you in the overseers and elders of the church. Take heed to your elders. Pay close attention to them. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 of these words from God: obey those who rule over you and be submissive. And the word for obey there is follow them because you're persuaded of the truth. Do what they say because you're persuaded. Not from their own smarts, but from what they are delivering up to you, namely the Word of God. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You see, Christ cares for his church by calling upon the leadership to take heed to themselves, by calling upon the leadership to take heed to all the flock, but also by calling upon the flock, calling upon the sheep to take heed to her leaders. This means that you need to be real with them, enter into relationship with them, overcome apprehension, privacy, and busyness. This means that you need to be willing to open up yourself to be shepherded, cared for. And this is only possible as you take heed to Christ, right? Just like the elders and overseers can't take heed to themselves apart from taking heed to Christ, just like the elders and overseers can't take heed to all the flock without taking heed to Christ, neither can the sheep take heed to the elders without taking heed to Christ. And so we are reminded of Christ's care today in the midst of His church. Even as we come to the end of 2024, we move into a new year, 2025. And if you have your bulletin handy there, I'd have you turn to the page which at the top of it says, Christ's care for His flock. This is our normal sermon notes page, and we left you no room to take any notes. Hopefully you had another piece of paper, right? But why didn't we leave you any room to take notes? Because there's actually a letter here from the leadership of the church to the flock. As we want to be found more faithful in 2025, we want to not only take heed to ourselves, and we need to do that each and every day. And we need your prayers that we would take heed to ourselves. But we want to take heed to all of the flock, and we want to engage. We want to be purposeful in terms of that. We want to be intentional and deliberate. And so you see there some of the practical application of what we're talking about, of how we experience Christ's care. And note what it says. Dear members of First Church of Merrimack, we know who you are. Your name is on a roll. We know who you are. As we move into 2025, the session desires to visit each of the member families of the church to do what? To tell you what you're doing wrong. No, to encourage you in the Lord. To encourage you in the Lord. To accomplish this, we will be sending out via email a sign-up calendar for January through May. That's to start the year. And that should be coming out this week, Lord willing. An email is going to go out, and an opportunity for you to sign up for a visit of encouragement. As it says here, you will see that there will be two times each week available for you to choose from a visit. There'll be two slots on Wednesdays at 2:00 in the afternoon. And I realize that a lot of you, that's not going to work for. But for some of you, it will. And there'll be two slots on Saturday mornings. That might be more conducive to those of you who are working daily in business. You may choose any open slot to get booked. You may select a visit from either Pastor Judd or ministerial intern William DeBenny, who, by the way, is preaching in Connecticut this morning. That's why he's not here. Our hope is to be able to incorporate one of the ruling elders with us on a number of these visits. Why? Why do we want to do this? We want to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to learn how we can specifically be praying for you, and we want to pray with you. How long should this take? Well, the visit can be as short as 30 minutes, but if you have more to talk about, we can extend it to about an hour. It's an excellent time for you to ask questions, inquire, share suggestions about the ministry of First Church of Merrimack. And as the letter closes, we pray that you will take advantage of this opportunity and sign up for a spot before they are all filled. There's going to be a rush to fill up this calendar. And so, in essence, right, there's four slots each week from January through May. And that's roughly 5 months. That's roughly 4 weeks a month. Five times four times four. I can't do the math. Can't do it on the fly, right? Four times a week. Too slow. But we want to send this out. And we realize maybe not all of you have email. And we'll And if you don't have email, talk to me. Talk to Rayanne. We're going to figure out how to get you signed up as well. There are times when there are crisis visits that the leadership has to make. There are times when there are serious issues that are going on in terms of pain and misery. When those visits continue to take place, they take place because they're driven by things which we react to, right? But here we're trying to be more proactive and trying to visit to encourage as we move into the new year. And we don't want to set ourselves up for failure, and we don't want to in any way discourage, but we want to take seriously what God calls us to as Christ cares for his church. And as we move into a new year, to believe that he will bless these efforts as we seek to grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the application, I think, which flows from this is very clear for the overseers and elders. It's very convicting to us. But the application is clear for you as well. That as you get the invitation to sign up, do so. So that we indeed can grow in the one anothering of the flock which Christ has appointed for us. And here we will see Christ promises to show us that he's caring for us. The one who laid down his life to purchase his church with his own blood has not left and gone back to heaven and no longer cares for us. He continues to care for us and will care for us until the end. And so may God bless our efforts as we in faith step out and say we're going to do some things. And that's kind of scary. That's kind of scary for the eldership to do. I'm just going to be honest. It's scary for us to say, we're going to do this, because we know that we're fallible, sinful men who often fail in what we try to set as goals. But you know, we make it public. God will bless this. God will bless First Church of Merrimack, and Christ will care for us, and we'll see it. And so we praise the head of the church. We praise him who purchased us with his own blood. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your beloved Son. Grant, O Lord, as we move into the new year, that we would truly bear one another's burdens, care for one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. They are many. We can look back over time and know that there has at times been failure in doing just what you call us to do. But we look to you, O Christ. You are the God who indeed has purchased us, and you care for us. Use, O Lord, our efforts, even our feet of clay, that we might run towards you and towards one another, and that we might indeed encourage one another in the Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen.